The passage reading is John 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever. And the senior pastor will deliver the message with the title, Holy Spirit Helps Us. My voice is kind of husky today, and please be understanding about it. I think it's the first time that ever happened. And this is one of the trainings that God is giving to me for different dimensions. After this training is over, I believe that He will change it into a clearer and purer voice. Actually, I'm receiving many kinds of trainings, and this is the first day of the fourth week. And every week, I told you that I would tell you about these trainings. And right now, it's about my voice and vocal cord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, GCN, and Mammon TV viewing audiences. Today is the Whit Sunday. It's the Sunday to celebrate the event in which the Holy Spirit came upon the believers for the first time. At the Last Supper, Jesus said that He was soon going to the Father's house to prepare a dwelling place for the disciples. The disciples were then grieved. It was difficult for them to understand where Jesus was going. They were also worried because their master, who had stayed with them continuously and taught them, was leaving them. Understanding these feelings of the disciples, Jesus said He would not leave them as orphans. Also, He said in John 14:16, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever. He promised us another Helper. John 16:7 also says, But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. He wanted to explain that it would be more beneficial for them if He left. The Helper refers to the Holy Spirit, who protects and helps believers. Jesus also taught the disciples the roles of the Holy Spirit and taught them in detail how the Holy Spirit would help them. They couldn't understand it at all first, but they began to understand Jesus' words one by one from the time the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit initially came to the fruit of gospel that Jesus bore, namely, the disciples and other believers. The Holy Spirit came down when about 120 believers were praying in the upper room in the home of Mark in Jerusalem. After the Holy Spirit came, the believers became more vigorous and courageous in their faith, and there was a great revival in the early church. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 to 47 says, Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The workers of the early church, including the apostles, actively spread the gospel in the strength and delicate guidance of the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit not only for Jesus' disciples and the members of the early church, but for all children of God. He was sent to help you and me. If we lead a life in faith with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can lead an energetic Christian life just like the early church members. But sometimes I see some people who are leading somewhat difficult Christian lives even though the Holy Spirit is in them. If you feel Christian lives are hard, you must be one of these people. In this message, I will talk about what we should do to receive the help of the Holy Spirit in our Christian lives. I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you will receive the help of the Holy Spirit so that you can lead a happy life in faith. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in order to lead a life in faith with the help of the Holy Spirit, first of all, we have to believe in the Holy Spirit who is in us. First, we have to believe that we have the Holy Spirit in us. Acts 2:38 says, Peter said to them, Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As written, God gives the Holy Spirit to anyone who realizes his sins. Is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He doesn't discriminate between one person and another in giving the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Holy Spirit in you cannot be seen with the naked eye. But God has shown us many evidences demonstrating that the Holy Spirit exists. For example, in John 1:32, John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him, namely Jesus. The Holy Spirit who came upon you does not have any form. But God opened the spiritual eyes of John the Baptist to let him realize the existence of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 records such members of the early church seeing the Holy Spirit coming down upon them and experiencing His power. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. At that time, the apostles preached the word with authority by the fullness of the Holy Spirit and brought thousands of people to repent and kneel before the name of the Lord Jesus. They also performed many miracles, including making a lame man walk. All these are the evidences that the Holy Spirit has actual existence. You don't have to have spiritual eyes to understand that the Holy Spirit is in you. It is possible for you to call Jesus Christ your Lord and God your Father because the Holy Spirit is in you. It is possible for you to come to the sanctuary of God, worship Him, praise and pray to Him because the Holy Spirit in you is giving faith to you. But some people doubt whether the Holy Spirit is really in them. Also, some people utilize their fleshly thoughts, thinking, I've committed this sin and I'm not really living in the Word of God. So then, isn't the Holy Spirit extinguished in me? Most of you must have received the Holy Spirit, but sometimes there are some who attend the church and attend worship services, they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. They heard that Jesus is our Savior. And if you accept it with faith, How did Jesus become our Savior? Because He was crucified to redeem us from sins. And if you believe this, we'll be so thankful for it. God gave us His one and only Son, and as the atoning sacrifice, to break down the walls of sin between Him and us. And He sealed us as His citizens and His children. So if we believe this fact, we'll repent of our sins, confessing that we are sinners. We say we didn't know Jesus Christ, we didn't know God. We rather worshipped idols and we stood against God. And this way we'll repent of our sins. Whatever you remember. And we'll confess that Jesus is our Savior. And God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And from that time, our names will be written in the book of life in heaven. And everybody has this process. But some people, they don't really accept Jesus as their personal Savior, so they don't repent of their sins. They just heard and they just know that Jesus is the Savior, and they don't really repent of their sins of the past. They have to ask for the forgiveness of their sins. They just come and go from to the church without receiving the Holy Spirit. So they are just the church goers. So they don't receive. They can't get the spiritual faith. So even they don't try to circumcise their heart, even though they see so many signs and wonders. They don't try to cast away evil or sins and untruths from their heart. But they don't do that. So even though they attend church for five or ten years, their faith doesn't just grow up. Their soul is not prosperous, so they still love the world, and they don't even try to quit the worldly things, stop the worldly things. They don't try to cast away untruths and sins, so they will feel it is hard to attend the church, to hear, to listen to the message. That's the kind of life they're living. They know about heaven and hell. But in our church, we have many chances to receive the Holy Spirit. We have special healing sessions, and also you have many prayer meetings. And also we have the Holy Spirit prayer meeting for the newcomers every month. After the Sunday morning service. So you can attend those prayer meetings and you can receive the Holy Spirit. Also, if we have revival meetings, then you can receive those receive the Holy Spirit in those meetings. And if you just accept with faith, God can just give you. Also, some people utilize their fleshly thoughts, thinking, I've committed this sin and I'm not really living in the Word of God, so then isn't the Holy Spirit extinguished in me? Of course, there might be some new believers who have not received the Holy Spirit yet. But unless you have a heart filled that is as hard as the roadside, which does not accept the Word at all, most of you have received the Holy Spirit. Also, even if you committed some sins, God forgives you in most cases if you repent and try to live by the Word again. The Holy Spirit is not extinguished easily just because you committed some sins. So you should also understand when the Holy Spirit is extinguished. As Jesus said, if somebody sins against you 70 times, we have to forgive him. Even 70 times 7, we have to forgive him. Which means we have to forgive limitlessly. Doesn't mean God will not forgive us. So if he commits sins and if God doesn't forgive us in your lives for 20 years, 30 years, how many sins do you commit? How many sins do you commit? And if these sins are not forgiven, how many of you will be actually saved? But if you repent and try to turn away and turn away, and God forgives you again and again, so, and going through that process, God leads you, leads your soul to prosper more and more. So now, you are what you are today. And you have been being sanctified again and again, little by little. And the Holy Spirit is not extinguished by these sins. But in what cases is the Holy Spirit extinguished? It is when you commit the work, sins leading to death. The Bible mentions the sins leading to death in many places. If you commit the sins leading to death, the Holy Spirit is extinguished, but not at once. It'll not be extinguished just by once or twice, but if you continuously, repeatedly, ignores God's word and commits these sins, finally the Holy Spirit will be extinguished. So you know, because you know the word of God, you know that you committed sins leading to death. But you know, but you still commit those sins. And again, and again. So you become, you feel afflicted in heart. And you know, you feel you are going to hell. So little by little, the Holy Spirit is being extinguished little by little. And you stop praying. And even if you do, you cannot pray with all your heart. Even if you listen to the message, you cannot worship in the spirit and truth. Because you are committing sins leading to death, you have so much affliction in heart and you have fear and trembling. You know you shouldn't be doing it, but if you have that real fear, then you should repent and turn away, but you keep on committing sins. So as in Hebrews chapter 6 and 10, you are crucifying the Lord all over again. And because you are committing sins knowing, willfully, knowing it is sin. So God doesn't give you the spirit of repentance. So you can't repent. So in this case, you'll feel more and more afflicted in heart, and the Holy Spirit is being extinguished little by little, and because you keep on committing sins again and again, so finally, this is how the Holy Spirit is extinguished. So that's what happens when you commit the sins leading to death, and finally, you didn't be able to repent and not be saved. Or you shouldn't be just thinking, I committed sins and so my Holy Spirit will be extinguished. So you should be, you should have a clear distinction. Of course, there are sins that will cause the quenching of the Holy Spirit too. Especially sins leading to death. Sins not leading to death, you can, if you committed those sins, you have to repent and turn back, turn away, and cast them away. But if you, sins leading to death cannot be easily forgiven. And if you committed, you have to repent thoroughly and not commit the same sin ever again. But in some cases, they don't do that. They just commit the same sin again and again. So finally, the Holy Spirit is extinguished. You must never commit sins that lead to death, such as willfully committing sins or crucifying the Lord all over again. If you keep on committing these sins, then the Holy Spirit will be quenched in you. So the Bible tells us not to pray for those who commit sins leading to death, because it doesn't work. It's of no use. But God has abundant mercy and compassion. So if, even if you committed sins that are difficult to be forgiven, He gives you grace again if you try to turn back and live by the Word. So you have to have the distinction about this too. If it's not the sins leading to death, you can try to live in the truth again. But if you committed sins leading to death, if you try to turn back, God can give you grace. But the problem is, you repeatedly commit the sins leading to death again and again, it means you are mocking God, you are cheating God all the time. Even before me, you sent, write to me to receive the forgiveness. And also you, repent with the tears and runny nose and everything, but after 3 or 4 months or after a year, you commit the same sin again. So it means you're cheating God and you're cheating your shepherd. So you're going further and further away from salvation. But if you really turn away, turn back, God can give you the grace. But if the Holy Spirit is extinguished in a person, then in most of such cases, they leave God. You can see these people. They seem to be good believers, but later they go back to the world. Before they used to pray well, but now they used to be faithful. But now they don't pray and they are not faithful and they feel afflicted in heart because the Word of God always tells you to cast away sins and evil. So because they feel it is hard, they leave the church. Which means their Holy Spirit is quenched. So they leave the church. Otherwise, they will never leave the church because they know this church is the church of life. You know, God attests to this church and by showing us signs and wonders and miraculous things. And also, you're taught the way to receive the salvation very clearly in this church. So if you have just a faith as little as mustard seed, and you will never leave this church. But when they lived, you know that their Holy Spirit is quenched. So they can't live by the Word of God, but they always hear the Word of God. They know they're supposed to cut off the worldly things, but they can't. So they just leave the church. Because they can do whatever they want, whether they eat or drink or smoke or do. Even if they don't pray, nobody cares for them. So the Holy Spirit tells us it is sin to stop praying. And we have to pray all the time. And our church prays every day. So if they leave the church, in other churches, they can attend just Sunday morning service and they just can go on a picnic or do whatever they want in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon, whether they go fishing or golfing or whatever they want. But in this church, they can't do that. And they have to consider other church members. And also they want to live an extravagant life, just like worldly people. But here in this church, they are not like that. So they leave the church. They leave this church where there are signs and wonders of God and miraculous works of God. It's not that they don't understand the way of salvation. It's because they just don't like it. Because they feel it's too hard for them to lead a life in faith here in this church. It's the same as abandoning their salvation. Or they might attend a church, but they don't even have the pangs of conscience, even though they commit grave sins. Some of them even live as slaves of Satan, since their consciences are seared as with a hot iron. Unless your case is something like this, you don't have to doubt or worry using your fleshly thoughts. You have to firmly believe that you have the Holy Spirit in you. You shouldn't just believe He is in you, but you have to trust Him. You should believe that He is the helper and rely on Him all the time. As we accept the Lord, we have to put aside our old ways of life and live by the will of God. This is a true Christian life. But in our Christian life, we may encounter some things that we cannot really overcome. There might be some things we don't understand. At these moments, we have to believe that the Holy Spirit enables us to do the things that we are not able to do and to understand what we are incapable of understanding. But most believers are not doing this. They just rely on themselves. For example, there are times when we have to make important decisions. Those who have faith will pray before making the decision. But some others say they believe and also pray, but eventually they just decide the things by their own discretion. If we prayed, we have to wait for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but some just make decisions according to their will. Then their behavior is no different from that of any unbeliever. They just live in the ways they used to live. If we keep on relying on ourselves, then we won't be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit later. If we decide things in our own will and do what we want, we won't bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but instead we'll bear the fruit of fleshly thought. It'll be difficult to bear good fruit. We might have to go the way that is more difficult, while we could have gone an easier way. Therefore, in whatever we do, we always have to ask the Holy Spirit in us for guidance. Ephesians 6:18 says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit." As said, not just when we come to the church to pray, but we have to ask what the will of God is in whatever we are doing. This way, we have to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit before we act. This is how we trust and rely on the Holy Spirit in us. At first, we have to ask in each occasion, but if we keep on doing it, we will naturally act according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Do we have to practice such a thing too? Yes, we have to do it. Our Lord tells us to follow our habit of praying. So once we... It's very easy to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit if you just obey, even for new believers. But there are some even elders, pastors, who can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit because they led a kind of a wrong Christian life. They should have relied on the Holy Spirit all the time. But they relied on their own ability, their own plan. So they can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Those people, even now, they have to change their habit. Even from now, they have to rely on, believe and rely on the Holy Spirit so they can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. As they train for a month, 2 months, 3 months, then they'll be able to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Those who are doing businesses, if they can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, they will be prosperous in all things. They won't have any difficulties. Even impossible will become possible, and the possible things will be even better. And they can't do that because they rely on their own knowledge, their own framework and righteousness. They own their own righteousness. So they don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I always explain to you how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Before, several years ago, I gave a sermon, a series of sermons for many weeks on how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So you can refer to them. You can listen to them again. Then you can understand how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you can just follow it. And it's not too late. It doesn't take too much time. Even new believers can hear it. And so if you, because you know the truth and you know a lot of the words of truth, and because you pray, so as you practice for month and or two, and you can begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, but the problem is you don't obey. I preached four messages in the Friday All Night service, and I told you to listen to them many times, at least 5-10 times. Of course, maybe you can understand just by listening to it once. But what is the reason that I told you to listen to it 5 or 10 times? Because the Holy Spirit is moving my heart that way. So if you obey, it'll be great blessing for you. That is why I'm telling you. And I hear many testimonies from many people. Because you listen to the message in obedience In the beginning, they didn't understand, but as they listened to it 2, 3, 4, 5 times, they realized many things. Even just from one word, and some, there is a person who came to see better and whose internal sickness was healed. And because they realized something in the message, they were even healed and they received the answers. So when, as they listen to it 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, they feel more and more full of the Spirit, and their problems are solved, and they can understand the things they couldn't understand before. So those who have been, those who are not, have not been obeying this word, I emphasized it so many times, but they, many of them didn't obey. That's how you lead a Christian life. Even though I take it into your hand, that's why you can't receive, you don't obey, so you don't receive blessings. If you just obey, God will be pleased, the Holy Spirit will be pleased, and God will lead you to blessings, but you just don't obey. So those who obey, they receive blessings, their souls prosper. It's not even something difficult. It's easy, and I give you this kind of homework, but you just don't do it. If I raise your hands, if I ask you to raise your hands, if you listen to, for those who listen to them for at least 5 times, then, and you know whether you really obeyed or not. If you didn't obey, because you don't obey, you are what you are today. You're just like that. Even though you are elders, pastors, leaders, you can't go into Spirit quickly enough. There are so many things, so many impossible things lying ahead of me. It's not something that we can do by our effort. I've been proclaiming all so many impossible things, but we have been accomplishing those impossible things because it's not me who is doing it. It's God and the Holy Spirit is doing. That's why we can accomplish everything. I hope you will not go a difficult way, relying on yourself, but relying on the Helper, Holy Spirit, and go an easier way. I pray in the name of the Lord that in doing so, you will prosper in all things. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in order to lead a life in faith with the help of the Holy Spirit, secondly, we must not ignore the words of goodness that the Holy Spirit is giving to us. The Holy Spirit lets us realize about goodness through the messages preached or through His voice. But even though He gives us realization, we can't really understand it if we close our heart thinking it doesn't apply to us. With a closed heart, we can't cultivate good hearts or increase our faith, so we'll just stay where we are. For example, you heard many messages about the spiritual characters that you should possess, such as spiritual love, goodness, and fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always tells us the way to accomplish the highest level of goodness and a grown-up measure of faith. He leads us to the way to New Jerusalem, the most beautiful place in heaven. Then do you accept all these words given to you personally? Or do you not jump to make hasty conclusions thinking, I can't cultivate such a high level of goodness. I can't do that much with the measure of faith I have. But God the Father is always looking at you with the eyes of faith and eyes of goodness. He looks at you with eyes of faith, believing you can also cultivate the highest level of goodness and the great measure of faith like the patriarchs. Then He teaches you what you have to realize and what you have to do through the Holy Spirit. He also guides you delicately with kindness so that you can practice what you've realized. But even though the Holy Spirit is teaching them so much, some people just ignore it. For example, the Holy Spirit always lets us realize the greatness of God's love. He also tells us that we in turn have to love God the Father too. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, "The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." It is goodness to believe in the love of God by following these works of the Holy Spirit. But some people just ignore the word, thinking, "I've never really felt the love of the Father, and so I can't love Him." It means they don't even know who God really is, who Jesus Christ is. They don't even know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. That's why they can't receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lets us, we can receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ. If we know it, we can't say we don't know, we haven't felt the love of the Father. God is love. God is the one who gave us the seed of life, our physical seed of life, the man's sperm and egg of the woman. And also, He gave us our spiritual life by giving His one and only Son as the atoning sacrifice to redeem us from our sins. And He gave us this great love, and how can we say we don't know His love? We don't feel His love. It means they don't even understand why Jesus Christ became our Savior. So it means they didn't receive the Holy Spirit. That's why they can't even feel the love of God. Since I came to know that Jesus Christ is our Savior for the last 37 years, I've never lost this first love. I've never lost the grace of God. I've always been thankful in my Christian life. Because the one and only Son of God became our Savior, and there is heaven and hell. Since I came to know these facts, there was nothing that could hinder me in my Christian life. Any persecution? I don't consider any persecution as persecution. It is rather a help to increase my faith. Even the enemy, devil, and Satan, nobody can take away my faith. Nobody can take away the grace and love in Christ that I have. That's why I have always been praying and with joy and thankfulness. So I always make positive confessions. Even though my voice is like this since Friday, I am still thankful. I asked some medical doctors, and they said, I have to take a rest. It might be because of tiredness, or it's because of temperature that is too high or too low, or because of polluted air or something like that. So you can, or when the overuse your voice, that is the physical sense. But yesterday I met with so many church members, talking to them, praying for them, and also today from early morning I pray for them. So having to take a rest has got really nothing to do with me. I will continue this today, all day, It doesn't mean that my voice will become even worse than this, because I know it. Through this, my voice will be even more wonderful voice. And it will be done so. That's why I don't have any worries. Because I know the love of God, and God always gives me good things. In any case, He gives us good things. When He refined the prophets, He it was to give them power, and it was to give them greater blessings. God refined, like in the case of Job, He refined them and gave them even more blessings. And God always wants to give us good things. The problem is, the children, they can't take it. And if you say, I've never really felt the love of the Father, and you can't love Him, and God tells us if we love Him, He will be, God will love us, and if we seek Him, we'll find Him. In this case, we can see they use fleshly thoughts that stand against God, and they ignore the words of goodness. If they keep on ignoring the teachings of the Holy Spirit, they cannot accept any of the thoughts of goodness that the Holy Spirit is giving them. They can neither feel God's love nor receive the grace that He is pouring down. Then they start to feel greatly afflicted in their hearts. Let me give you another example. The Holy Spirit is teaching us the way to go to New Jerusalem through the Word. But some people think those words have nothing to do with them because they committed certain sins. The Holy Spirit is telling them that they can repent thoroughly and just march forward towards New Jerusalem, but they do not give up their negative thoughts. This way, they don't accept the love of God either. It's not too late. You can pray and live by the Word of God from now so you can go into Spirit and Holy Spirit. Is there anybody who is blocking you from going to Spirit, from going into Holy Spirit? That is the enemy devil. God or the Lord or the Holy Spirit will never block you, stop you. Is there any brother of faith who stops you? It's you who are doing it to yourself. And you say, you by yourself, you give up going to New Jerusalem. You say, I'll be satisfied with the paradise or just the first or second kingdom of heaven. It is how foolish it is. It's not too late. When the Holy Spirit gives you the words of goodness, I hope you will just accept it as yours with an amen. I hope you will feel the goodness of God and feel His love through the help of the Holy Spirit so that you can always be happy in your Christian life. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will cultivate that goodness in you too, so that the Holy Spirit can always be happy because of the aroma of that goodness in you. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in order to lead a life in faith with the help of the Holy Spirit, thirdly, we have to try to live by the will of God through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always leads God's children to live by the will of God the Father. When He is leading us this way, we should also have the willingness to live by God's will. We shouldn't just load all the responsibilities on the Holy Spirit, saying, I believe the Holy Spirit is in me. He teaches me the goodness in me. He does everything for me. We should also try to understand what He is teaching us and to practice what we have come to understand. If we say, the Holy Spirit in us is guiding us all the way, even though we don't really do anything, it is not really true faith. This is just fleshly faith of knowing that the Holy Spirit is in us. If we truly believe that the Holy Spirit is in us, we will long to listen to the Word and pray to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We will also beat ourselves into obedience to obey the teachings of the Holy Spirit. Of course, sometimes it may feel difficult to obey all the teachings of the Holy Spirit. But those who believe the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will say they can do it because the Holy Spirit is in them. Then they try their best, relying on the Holy Spirit who is helping them. We first have to try this way. But as the time goes, and as such efforts are accumulated, it becomes easier and easier to hear the voice and receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This way, we can always receive the help of the Holy Spirit. Then, we won't feel a Christian life is difficult. I proclaim many things that are impossible in human thoughts because it's not me who is doing it. It's the Holy Spirit who is actually doing it. So there's nothing impossible. In human thoughts, it might seem impossible. But God can do anything. God has no impossible things. That's why I proclaim that I've fulfilled them. And I never felt hard or difficult about them. I just obey. So there's nothing really difficult about it. But for you, it's not even something that difficult. Why do you have to feel it so hard in your Christian life? And why do you? For me, it seems so easy, but I don't know why you have to face so many difficulties in your businesses. You can just pray and receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It'll be so easy, but you suffer so much. Some of you. We feel a Christian life is difficult when we rely on ourselves. I hope you will all say that your Christian life is easy because you have the Holy Spirit. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the Bible we can find many patriarchs who did great things. Sometimes you might admire them, wondering how they did such great things. But if we receive the help of the Holy Spirit, doing those great things are not really difficult. For example, men of spirit and men of Holy Spirit rely on the Holy Spirit every moment, so they hear His voice every moment. They understand the heart of God the Father in all things, so they can easily do the things that look difficult in the eyes of men of flesh. They spend each day in happiness, receiving the love and strength of God the Father. You all too can do the same. Thus, I hope none of you will say, I lack this and that, so I can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You should say that you can do it because you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is the love of God the Father who understands the weakness of human beings. If we commit sins, God has sent us the Holy Spirit to make us turn from those sins. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us understand the heart of God the Father more deeply. Therefore, let us not use our fleshly thoughts and make the Holy Spirit just keep quiet in us, but let Him help us as much as possible. In order to lead a life in faith with the help of the Holy Spirit, first of all, we have to believe in the Holy Spirit in us. Second, we must not ignore the words of goodness that the Holy Spirit teaches us. Third, we have to try to live by the will of God when the Holy Spirit leads us. In Romans 14:17, the Apostle Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." I hope you will also receive the help of the Holy Spirit all the time and be filled with peace and joy. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will have no problems reaching New Jerusalem, where there is the perfect peace and the ultimate joy. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your grace and love. Let this message become faith and life. This is the Whit Sunday. Let us understand why God sent to us the Holy Spirit so we can rely on the Holy Spirit. Let us hear His voice and receive His guidance so that impossible will become possible and the possible will become even better. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick, lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Father God, lay your hands on them. Show your work transcending space and time. Bless all the members in all churches, branch churches and local sanctuaries who are attending the service through satellite all over the country and all the children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world and all GCN viewers, Bamin TV viewers and overseas pastors, missionaries and members of more than 9,000 branch churches worldwide. And lay your hands on those who sent their photos and prayer requests. Pastor Vitaly Fishberg in the United States. He'll have the second lecture on spirit, soul, and body in Praise and Worship Church. And he'll preach in the afternoon service of Messiah Church on May 23rd. Filled with the Spirit, Pastor Tokikuni Miyako of Japan will have the Handkerchief Crusade in Nagoya Mami Church on May 29th, Saturday. Let there be healing works taking place with the power of the Holy Spirit. Nedra of Venezuela, high blood pressure, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Magali Escalante wants to have a son. The blessing of conception. Nelson wants to accept the Lord and live a changed life. At John Mamin Church, let the workers and members quickly cultivate spirit and fulfill their duties so the church can have a revival. And missionary Jew, let her brother, headache go away. Cancer in the esophagus, middle ear infection, herniated disc, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and let her get into a job where she can keep the Sunday holy. Let her husband, has a shoulder, right leg, let it be normal, let it be lengthened. Kim Hong-san, let her get into a good college with a good grade. Kim Young-hee, let the has a herniated disc in the back and the neck, and also heart disease, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yoo Hee-chun has piles, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let the spiritual cord with the ancestors be broken down. Lee Myo, let her house be sold at a good price. Kim Hansu is gone for 20, has disappeared, has gone missing for 22 years. Let him come back home quickly. Wang Chuanjin has heart disease, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Chu Ui She Lung, let him go into spirit through a 5-day fasting. Che Gilson, middle ear infection, arthritis, and gastritis, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. The herniated disc and heart troubles, and also liver cirrhosis of her husband, Han Gun-sun, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yang Fang Chong, let the depression go away. Let her mother quit the idolatry. Chin Li's father has diabetes. Her mother has women's disease. And let her get a good job and let the family be evangelized. Yang Jana is running in the athletic competition of the whole city. Let her win. Yi Wan Shen Let the spiritual cord be broken and let loneliness go away. Father God, break down their spiritual cords of idolatry. Father, lay your hands on them, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lay your hands on all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Father, give them spiritual and physical health. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. All internal diseases be healed. Heart and liver, pancreas, intestines, all internal organs be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let paralysis be loosened. High blood pressure, diabetes go away. Be healed. All herniated discs go away. All arthritis go away. All leprosy or palsy go away. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father God, give them spiritual and physical health and protect them and give them peace throughout this week. Bless them whether they come in or go out. Let them lend and not borrow. And protect all the church vehicles and the church members' vehicles and let them make no mistakes while driving. Father, open the gate of heaven and bless their workplaces, businesses, and families. Let them lend and not borrow. Let them become the head and not the tail. Father, give them peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.